The following Dharma talk was given at Common Ground Meditation Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I kind of had a talk, but then look, all the wisdom that just flew through the room. No talk needed, truly. My name is Nesky, and a lot of things were said, so the fact that I have time to talk, I can respond to some of the things that were moving for me was the same question. There was so much gratitude moving through the heart today, and in terms of what's happening in this country, the virus and uncertainty that seems so certain that, you know, something is coming. I am grateful that you all had the courage to show up and really connect with people. I was talking to my brother last night, who is a scientist. He cooks virus every day. So he kind of level set with me, and it was very nice to hear that. He said, this is a new strand of the flu virus. And every year, the flu virus kills more than just this many people. But, you know, globalization and all these things had made it so apparent. And of course, it also killed white people. It's not like Ebola that 11,000 people died and nobody gave a shit, right? And the rate was 90%. If you catch that, it's certain you will die. Here, it's really not that, but it's still scary. The world has never been certain. I mean, it's always has been uncertain, but we have really made up our mind that if no new pandemic came to be, then we're going to be okay. We just have really had that. And whether the virus kills people or not, whether, you know, Ebola kills somebody or coronavirus or the regular flu, it is the same, right? Like, the impact is the same for that family, for people. I am really not discounting how impact comes in with whatever way. But whatever thing that we create and make it so much bigger is our own doing, some of it. And what's interesting to me personally was to watch my 401k just disappear this week, and whatever savings, you know, people had, you know, who have no choice in terms of 401ks or whatever, that and really I was like so upset the first few days. And really dreading, I like, don't want to watch this. So, you know, like, I've been with the same company for almost 20 years. And I was so grateful that it's not really cash. Like, you know, it's like it's gone. And then, wow, I never had it before. So it's gone now. It's so cool. And it's not cool. I'm like, I should have cashed it. You know what? And I was like, it's cool. Not much you could do about it now. My other brother, younger brother, has two little children. He lives in Atlanta. And he was telling me that this disinfecting thing that we buy for our hands, it was completely gone, and it was like $80. I was like, what? And so we create this, you know, panic. And or this, like, oh my God, things are looking up, everything is fine, and, you know, like, we made up this story about the stock market, which is not real, and it has its good day and bad day, and everybody's life is impacted, which is hilarious. But so this uncertainty, this change, this impermanence, we also view it as, at least myself in my practice, what I find is we view it as if it is something outside. And we are here, a permanent thing, watching this uncertainty unfolding. Like, this came in, I changed my job, but we feel like we are not changing. Things are changing. Like, this virus came in and this happened, I was here, whatever it is, but is that really true? Are we really the same person that we were here this morning? Are we actually not changing ourselves? Are we not change? And is there even any other option, whether we like it or not, whether we resist the change or flow with it? Can we see there is really nothing to be done? Because it will be done for us if we don't like it, you know. If we like it and we cooperate with this change that is flowing, you know, maybe the suffering is less. But if we don't like it and it's too uncertain, it's too much, we add suffering. However, whatever needs to happen, it's going to happen. And to me, that is really freedom. Like, if we really know, regardless of how I think about it or how I am so tightened and, you know, spinning, it's going to do its thing. It's going to go through its course and it's going to move through. Whether I move with it or not, it's going to move through me. Whether I know I am also change, I am changing. I mean, I saw pictures of my pictures from 4 years ago. I'm like, oh my God, who is this? And it's like, I didn't have glasses. I could see. That was so hilarious. I never thought that I would wear glasses, but now I can't see shit. So it's like, and that was 4 years ago. Even my mother, who doesn't wear glasses, she's like, you look like an old lady. What's happening to you? Anyway, that's a blessing too. I could still see. But this continuous change that's happening, what happens if we actually, you know, like the trees really bloom and the leaves change. And I remember, like, you know, living in Minnesota, a little bit of sadness coming in as soon as fall creeps in. I'm like, and there's this tree that I watch by my backyard. I have like a little, I don't really have a backyard, but I have a deck that I sit, and then the tree is right in front of me. And honestly, the tree has been my neighbor more than my neighbors. It's just been so wonderful to just have that conversation with the tree and just see. And anyway, several years ago, I've been sitting outside and moving through change myself and just looking at the leaves, you know, green and dropping. And some of them really didn't want to go. I'm like, that is letting go. Like, they don't want to go. So the tree is shading this just like shit that I don't, you know, like holding on. But then, you know, a few months after that, it's all gone. And so that type of change is happening. And I don't think we really realize that type of change is also happening here in the heart. And half the time, I don't know if the tree says, like, I'm not going to let go of my leaves, you know. I lost my aunt, and I'm sorry, this is all my thing, even though I don't know how to turn it off. oh my God. My aunt passed away 40 days ago. And in my culture, we celebrate the 40th day so much, and today was that. That was why I know it's 40 days, and she's been in my heart. It's been very impactful for me. I didn't want to leave my house for like the first 3 weeks. I just couldn't stop crying, even though she's 80. And that I've been praying for her to die because she was in so much pain. But once I heard the news, the impact was like a tornado. But what I wanted to share about her, and I really would like to honor her with this talk as well, is she has been like an amazing woman, and me and her have been so tight. And she had this amazing life. She had like a husband, and their love was like Romeo and Juliet, has nothing on them kind of things. Like they were like this. So it was really wonderful to see. And 2 years ago, her husband died. And then, like, she could not deal with it. For the first time, she's like, I can't believe this. Life is fake. I just can't understand how. Why are we doing all this? Like, what is this for? And I'm like, all these people were dying. Like, it didn't really hit you? So her husband's name is Sammy. She's like, I cannot understand. I never thought Sammy and I would be separated. It just never occurred to me. And it's quite amazing to me that, how come she doesn't know this? But I had the same reaction when it really happens, you know. Even though we've been preparing and so on and so forth, our loved ones, you know, or things that are really important to us, that ending, that departure, that separation is a surprise. It's very impactful. And it doesn't even have to be a loss. It could just be a relationship. It could be things changing. It could be our health. It could be anything. It's like, do we truly understand impermanence? Do we truly understand this teaching? And do we keep it in mind that it is going to change? Because I think it's not that apparent that it shows things are going to change. Like the same person moves through the same thing and so on. And we have our memories that, you know. So Carol Wilson, who is a Dharma teacher. Does she teach in IMS? Yeah. I don't remember. I mean, I remember her when taking Buddhist studies about her, but I didn't read what she wrote before. And in my practice, where I'm at is just trying to understand this intersection between uncertainty and clinging. Why is it so difficult for us to, you know, go along with change? Why is it too much? So I'm going to read a little bit of what she says. She says, the paradox of impermanence. And even though I have seen it 1,000 times, it is still not easy for me to get the fact that the suffering is not about the change itself. The suffering, if you get right down to it, is about my reaction to the change. It is in my denial, my lack of acceptance, my basically not wanting to feel pain or loss.
I forget what time this thing ends.
Okay. I find this fascinating. I find this paradox to be fascinating, how I can know something so clearly on one hand and yet live my life so often as if I didn't know it all. Let's face it, on a very basic level, we want pleasant experiences to linger, to hang around. We don't really want unpleasant things to happen. we can explore this edge in our meditation practice, and it can expand out to our whole life, and still we may find there is a level where we don't quite get that all pleasant experiences are coming and going, that everything unpleasant is coming and going. It's really uncontrollable. If we could just follow the coming and going and both pleasant and unpleasant, our life truly would have no problem. So further down, she talks about what is so unsettling about the inevitability and absoluteness of impermanence is that it allows no resting place to us who want a resting place. And who doesn't? That sounds fearful, insecure, unreliable, awful. But it is our very grasping at the passing of any phenomena or existence, the external or so-called internal, the looking always for a resting place that actually provokes the suffering in our life. And it's very hard to see. So what I understand from this is, even if we accept one change, we still go back and look for something else to just like, okay, this one passed now. Where can I get some refuge from this one? Oof, it passed. So we are constantly searching for this resting place. This is a river, and there is no resting place. Can we jive just with change? Even if we hate it, I don't say like we really have to love the change, but even if we hate it, we'd be like, this sucks. I'm going to go with it, though, because do I have any choice? Thank you for listening. I know we have like maybe 7 minutes. So if there's questions or comments.
I just wanted to thank you for relating the story about your auntie. And just some of the things that you said really resonated with me. And that was the fact that we're always trying to prepare. You know, I thought I would prepare, and correct me if I didn't hear you correctly, but I thought I would prepare for the time. I would be okay by the time my aunt passed away because, you know, I've been preparing for it. And I've gone through the same thing. And that's really where suffering comes in. And I think part of it is being to the point that you're so prepared that when I get to that point where my auntie passes away, and I have one that's 98, and I won't feel this pain. I won't, you know, I'll be so prepared I won't feel it. And letting that go, because you are going to feel it. And you did say that, you know, my auntie died, and I feel bad. And to get to that point where I'm going to feel bad no matter what, and I really enjoyed that part of it. And then the Carol Wilson was her name. I thought that was really spot on, too. So thank you.
My name's Tracy. So what just came to mind was, again, with the story about your aunt, how I was struck by how you were there with her in her pain. And sometimes what we're facing in this practice, you know, just for me, can be so painful. And there are times where there's doubt that comes in. And but the truth is worth it. And it shows up. I spent some time with two separate people yesterday who both said to me that being, that they wanted to be with me, that there's this peace. And it's funny because, like, I don't feel that. But it was like, oh, it's sort of the universe saying, you know, there is this, it's this evidence of the change and how as we keep showing up, it just helps with that faith that we become a safe place for people. That's part of what comes out of the practice. So I was just, that's part of what I heard from what you said. So thank you.
Hi, my name is Brenda. I go by she, her, hers. Thank you, Mesky, for sharing. Something that you brought up resonated with me, and that was the analogy of the river. And that has kind of been an analogy that I've used for the past, like, maybe year and a half. My life, like most everybody's, goes from, you know, really turned in and, you know, quiet and introspective to, you know, my job is seasonal. I'm in a lot of bands, so sometimes I'm just really crazy with music and friends and stuff. And I feel like the times when I'm going deep and in, I feel like I'm in the river and it's more like a babbling brook. It's kind of moving slower and it's sort of washing me clean, sort of feeling. And then sometimes, like right now when things are really nuts, I sort of feel like Mark always says, you know, sometimes you're just in the mix. And I just feel like the river is just, you know, shooting on down and I'm just kind of riding along. And then there's some days, you know, where I get stuck on a stick or whatever and I have to, you know, deal with that. But for the most part, I really like the river analogy because, you know, everything is impermanent, time, you know, everything. And so just knowing that it's going to flow and there's going to be those quieter, introspective times and there's going to be those crazy, busier times, but still, you know, just trying to be as present for whatever that is. And last night I was at a show and just like right in the middle of the song, I was just like, it's like so cool that I'm just so present when I go out to music now. It's like I'm completely there with the music. I'm not thinking about tomorrow. I'm not thinking about people in the room. And it's just like, and I'm really being aware that that's happening. And that's all a result of my practice. And it's just, yeah, I just really dug that analogy because I could really relate to that. So thanks for sharing.
Yeah, this was very good. I'm wondering, if Buddhist teaching was helpful in handling these difficulties. You did mention impermanence, and I think that's good, and how difficult it is to accept that. So I'd like to hear more on that and other Buddhist teachings too.
Thanks, everybody.
This talk, like all programs at Common Ground, is offered freely in the spirit of generosity. To learn more about Common Ground and its programs, or if you would like to donate, please visit our website, www.commongroundmeditation.org.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.